Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Instant replay on Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ, featuring the best of the best from today's conversations, observations, and ruminations, because great radio is still fresh the second time around. Earlier today on the Mac and Bone Show.
Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ, Mac and Bone with you. 9 o'clockers, welcome aboard. We have Panthers draft content coming up at 9:25. We're a week out from the start of at least the first round of drafts next Thursday. We got to probably sit till Friday, barring a trade. But we will ask the question a week out: where do you stand? Your ideal, realistic tandem, your combo platter of draft picks in the second round. What's your ideal combination? So we'll kick that around coming up at 9:25. But right now, Bone Man, it's time for another Mac and Bone Show draft. And because we have been fixated and really obsessed with wide receivers in this second round
and the draft. And the ballet today has taken over people's lives.
I'm surprised you don't want to do a top ballet dancer draft.
Well, Shikovsky was the Jerry Rice of the ballet world.
Okay. You are an expert, aren't you? But anyway, since we've been obsessed with wide receivers, you came up with the idea it's time to do an all-time wide receiver draft, and let the people out there listening decide who is the winner. And who better to challenge Bone our football medal against than the man that has for years been Charlotte's representative as the NFL Hall of Fame voter from Panthers.com. He is Darren Gant. DG, what's going on, brother? Thanks for doing this, man.
Good morning, friends. I've spent years and years preparing this big board for just this event. This is kind of the culmination of a lifetime of study for me, and I appreciate you offering me the opportunity to take part in something as momentous and historic as this.
Yeah, you did say on social media, not just a big board, but you have the biggest board. Is that correct? You said that?
Oh, hey,
the biggest. Many people are saying it's the biggest board ever.
All right. Anyway, I got you. I think I got you on that one. All right. So anyway, let's get to it.
We're talking about the actual board.
So the draft order, Bone Man. Yep. The draft order is... I forgot.
Snake order draft. Yeah, wow. Way to lock in.
I really locked in.
Draft, but I forgot where we can just make up where you're at. I am one. You are two. Darren Gant is three, but then four, because it's a snake draft.
Okay, all right, so let's start this thing off, Bone Man. Hit us with your first wide receiver pick.
Do we have to stall like we don't know the pick already like they do in the regular draft?
Adam Schefter just blew it on Twitter right now. He knows.
My number one pick with 1549 in catches, 22,895 yards, 197 touchdowns. I don't think this one needs much debate here. Jerry Rice. My number one.
There you go. A little slow clap for you. You had to do that, man. That's a no-brainer.
What other direction am I going to go in there?
That's a no-brainer pick.
I wish that Pat Summerall could announce that pick for me, Darren. Jerry. Pause a while. Jerry Rice. He would delay like 15 seconds.
You been in that peanut butter whiskey again, Bob?
What are you talking about?
So now I'm up.
I go first, you go second.
I get to go now.
My Lord.
All right. Darren just waiting for that little little double.
Darren's working
double
the trade. Darren's working the trade machine
okay,
over there.
Okay. More on that in a second. But first, I'm going to go Randy Moss, straight cash, homie. Fourth all-time in receiving yards and the number one deep threat. Take the top off. Game-changing. You've got to adjust for this man. Receiver, I think, in the history of the sport. So I go Randy Moss with the second pick. All right, DG, you got two in a row, brother.
All right, well, here's an exclusive report that you can only get on Panthers.com and I guess WFNC. I have traded up with myself. I have traded the fourth pick in a 2025 fourth rounder to move up to the third pick, where I will take Don Hutson. the Green Bay Packers Hall of Famer, and he was the guy who was putting up big numbers when no one else did. And think about this, of all the great players in Packers history, he's the one they named their training center after, not the Reggie White Dome, not the Brett Favre practice field or anything like that. It's the Don Hutson Center. He was the original big play wide receiver before Randy Moss.
Mm, I like that. That's a good, savvy veteran pick because the OG, man.
No, a great pick, old-time pick. Darren, I'm looking at a photo of old Donnie Hutt right here. Did he play in the era without face masks?
I did. Yeah, that picture you're looking at is in black and white,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, here you go.
It looks like he's going on a moon landing.
Somebody did say, what percentage of Darren's wide receiver roster will have only white footage of them? Someone did ask that earlier.
He's showing off now.
Okay.
Oh, there's probably more in that tank.
All right, Darren, well, now you get, since you made that trade, now the yourself yeah. also, you know, you traded down yeah. also, so you got four. Who are you going there?
I think at four, then, after going Don Hutson, I would go T.O. Because if you want to talk about impact and huge numbers over a long time, there are few who can compare with that guy. I like Randy Moss, but I love T.O. And it's just, you know, he was a difference maker for a lot of teams. Was he problematic? Sure, but receivers are supposed to be problematic, aren't they?
Yes, by nature they are, and you can't deny the stats. Third all time, like he has to be in
right.
this draft.
Yep.
And if you didn't take him, even though he would be a headache for my coaching staff, I probably would have taken him too.
Now, Darren, are you going to look to possibly trade T.O. at some point during the season here?
You know, it's inevitable that when he gets in an argument with my quarterback and creates a toxic culture in the locker room, we may. You know, need to move on from him. But for right now, I feel like I've got the best two receivers, you know, on the board already.
He's gonna call Don Hutson grandpa and get right out of there.
There's no doubt that Darren and Drew Rosenhaus would be speaking. You know what I mean? After T.O. does a press conference while doing sit-ups in a driveway somewhere. Oh, all right, anyway, I like the picks, though. I like the picks. So now I come back around, Bone, with yep. the number five pick, with my second-round pick. And I was going to continue going with, like, that top five or six of just pure, like, raw, like, yards. I can't deny this guy on a per-season basis. Megatron, Calvin Johnson. Over almost 12,000 yards, Bone, in 9 seasons. I mean, we're talking about a dude that put up 1,000 yards or more in 7 of the 9 seasons. And hell, he had 1,492 or more 3 times. Are you kidding me? He had a 1,600-yard season, almost a 2,000-yard season, and just one of the most physically gifted ever to play the position. I got to get Megatron early.
So it's back to me. I had Jerry. So I got 2 picks in a row here, right?
Yes, yes.
So I'm going to go.
You going straight down with yourself?
I'm going to go for a guy here, Matt, that Athlon on this receiver ranking listed number 5 of all time with 1,432 catches, 17,492 yards, 100 all-time team, 121 touchdowns. I got Larry Fitzgerald, Mac, and Darren as my selection.
That was the other one I was thinking about.
I was debating you didn't go, I was going to go either Megatron or Larry Fitzgerald there.
Yeah, so, that's good. That's what you had to do there.
My next one is a guy that I didn't see a ton of necessarily because I was younger, but the numbers speak for themselves. I'm sure DG's got a lot of thoughts on this. He's actually number 2 on the Athlon all-time receiving list. I'm going Steve Largent, Mac. I think that's great value for the 3rd-round pick there. I've got Steve Largent, another all-time team member, 819 catches, 100 touchdowns. I've got Steve Largent with my 3rd-round pick.
Yeah, Largent. Largent was an old-school one, Darren. Largent could ball, man. No doubt. Him and Jim Zorn tore it up back in the day.
No doubt. And he was a better receiver than Congressman, I believe.
I forgot he was even in Congress at any point, so I guess that definitely means better receiver than Congressman. All right, so I'll go with my 3rd-round pick now, Bone. I got to do it. Steve Smith Sr. I got to do Steve Smith, man. 8th in the NFL all-time in yards. And the man
suck up.
And the man play for a head coach for years that loved punting. That said, a punt's a good play. He played in Foxball Bone. Didn't play with a Peyton Manning or Tom Brady at quarterback. And still, 8th all-time in receiving yards. Darren's dang Hall of Fame voters need to get, they need to listen to Darren. This man needs to be a finalist and get on in. So I went Steve Smith. Plus, I figure, Bone, if I pick him, maybe I curry favor with our, you know, voters out there as well. Panther fans, classic, man. I'm the one that went with the hometown
classic
guy.
Classic Mac move. That was going to be my next selection, by the way.
For the first time in this draft, we have live reaction from Steve Smith about being picked by Mac.
No! Oh. All right, DG, you got two now.
Well, if he wasn't going to be picked by Mac, he was going to be my next pick. So
you hear that, Smitty? The Panthers.com guy didn't even take it. You hear that?
Hey, I was prepared to. I mean, other people get picks too. You don't always get what you want in this thing. So anyway, forced to adjust, I am going to continue the old school trend. I will go Lance Allworth here with the ninth overall pick.
About that,
Chargers DG. And Cowboys great 18.9 yards per reception.
Jeez.
I mean, during the AFL years, he was routinely over 20 yards a catch. Again, the game was different back then, and when you look at guys who were different from all their contemporaries at the time, that is who I'm going with the ninth overall pick.
How about that? DG is on brand with this draft.
This is a dream come true for him right now. Ask the old guys, get the old guys.
All right, your last pick now. What's your last pick?
All right, with my last pick, I'm going to go off the menu here for my final pick. I'm going to take Patrick Jeffers in December of 1999 only, or the month of December in 1999. There was no better receiver on the planet than Patrick Jeffers. In five games, he caught 35 passes for 717 yards and 8 touchdowns in a month. 20.5 yards per catch in a month. He got Steve Berline to a Pro Bowl. That's how good Patrick Jeffers was in December of 99. So for one month, there was no better. There was no better wide receiver in the game of football.
Mag, are you going to go Moose in 04, the last 8 games of the season?
I should take December 04 Moose just to counter that. That was a bad man, too, with Smitty out.
I did not have, I got to be honest with you, Patrick Jeffers not on our board right now.
December 99 Jeffers.
Mel Kiper Jr. said, what's this guy doing right now?
Darren Gant always was a maverick. He's a rule breaker. You know what I mean? He's going to pick a specific guy for a specific month.
Oh,
all right?
My God.
Okay, all right, so let me close this down.
He's got the biggest board, man.
It is. It's so big, and it includes guys for just one month of production. I'm going to go. Now I feel bad because I'm taking this seriously, and Darren's on here with the Patrick.
What do you mean? I think he did. That is serious for Darren.
Hey, I'm taking this very seriously. Okay. I don't know what you're talking
about. Okay, my bad. I'm going Marvin Harrison.
Okay.
I'm going to go Marvin Harrison. Just steady. He and Peyton Manning, maybe the greatest tandem ever, certainly one of them, close to 15,000 yards. I'm going to go with Marvin Harrison as my final pick, Bone Man.
Yeah,
big part of that offense.
That's a good one there. I've got some of the Rams guys on my list here. Yeah. I've got a couple of former Bills on my list here that are high up all-time stats in Reed and Lofton. But Mac, he's not my favorite personality per se, but you can't argue the production of this man. And if it wasn't for Jerry Rice and his numbers, where would Chris Carter rank? He was the receiver of the 90s besides Jerry Rice, a Hall of Famer, 1,400 yards, 130 touchdowns, and that includes time with Randy Moss. I think there's good value there, Chris Carter, with my fourth selection.
I like it. I like it, man. Touchdown machine.
Chris Carter only for one month in November of 1993.
This dude says, Mac and Bone playing checkers. Gant's out here playing chess, breaking receivers down by month. Yeah, I got to say, we weren't prepared to go there.
No.
We were not prepared to do that.
it's an exclusive, boys, at Panthers.com. We've got you covered month by month, year by year, decade by decade.
I would love to track down people and ask them what they think of Patrick Jeffers being an all-time wide receiver.
We're going to find out right now because it's going to go to a jury of our peers, right?
Yes.
The texters are going to determine who won, right, Bone?
Yeah, we're going to put it on social media. I'm sure Darren's going to go over well
or
with
social.
This.
Okay, social media. Yeah. DG, speaking of Panthers.com, y'all got Canales and Morgan having pressers today, right? I know that's going to be big.
Oh, yes, the pre-draft press conference. It's where everybody talks about we're going to draft the best player available. You don't want to get too clogged up in need. A lot of good players in this draft and a lot of positions that could help this team.
I tried to help Darren promote
the – am I ruining Dan's vibe
I mean, you're 100% right, but I was trying to hype it up, and Darren's like, let me tell you what you're really getting today in these pressers.
It's going to be good stuff, and honestly, it is going to be interesting to see because this is the first time Dan's been in the big chair, and so I'm planning to ask him. I'm not going to go Greg Doyle and make the heart symbol with my fingers or anything like that. Anything weird. I don't want to goob out the GM of the football team. But it is interesting to think about the difference in going through this process when you know you're the guy.
Yes,
and you're the final difference maker. So it's definitely going to be an interesting day listening to Dan and Dave talk about. Talk about what they need and what they want to come out of this weekend with.
No doubt.
This weekend, next weekend. Time's lost all meaning to me.
Check it out.
Dallas Cowboy fans furious with Darren Gant right now that he disrespected Michael Irvin. That was his spot to go in.
He should have gone there. But the problem is we took away Michael Irvin's push-off yards, and he's only left with 62 receiving yards for his career.
I would definitely be going with Michael. He was second remaining on my big board behind Raymond Berry at this point. So he was definitely a priority free agent.
Raymond Berry.
Wasn't Raymond Berry and Perry Mason? Was that the same guy?
Raymond Burr. What are you talking about?
Raymond Burr. I thought they were this.
Okay. You thought they were the same guy?
Yeah.
DJ Hackett fans.
This is ratings gold. The millennials love this kind of stuff.
DJ Hackett fans. DJ Hackett fans mad at Darren Gant.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. They're revolting. DJ, you the man. Thank you so much, bro. We'll let you know the result. Check for the results on social media, DJ.
All right. We'll keep an eye out. The intelligent fans understand. They'll appreciate, genius may not appreciate it in its own time, but I feel confident that this is the best lineup of these.
Listen to Mac and Bone every weekday morning from 6 to 10. Instant replay continues with more in a moment. Only on Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ.
The exclusive home of the Charlotte sports fan.
McDonald's is not new to chicken. So maybe stop questioning their chicken cred and get your hands on the McCrispy. Juicy fried chicken, buttery bun, unmatched pickle to chicken ratio. Yeah, they know what they're doing. In fact, we can honestly say they're not new to chicken. They're true to chicken. The McCrispy. Only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Instant replay on Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ. Because great radio the second time around is always twice as nice. This afternoon on the Wesson Walker Show.
Getting back to the Carolina Panthers and talking about the NFL draft that is coming up in about a week. And Joe Person has definitely been keeping us up to date on what is going on with Dave Canales and Dan Morgan as they speak. And he talked about how, quoting from Dave Canales, it's not about surrounding Bryce with great players. It's about building a great team. And so that leads us into our topic to start out the middle part of the 1 o'clock hour. How many starters should or could Carolina draft in the second round? And so I think the second round is a spot to where it's an interesting spot for prospects, because I think the second rounders are certainly good enough to be first rounders, but there may be one or two things, either with maybe some off the field, maybe some medicals, maybe something was lacking from the tape that kept them from getting into that first round. But that doesn't mean that you can't draft great players. That doesn't mean you can't draft Hall of Fame players in the second round. And so I think the Panthers have themselves a great opportunity to be able to pick two of the top 40 players in the draft should they choose to. on draft day.
Yeah, and so if you're looking at the second round, I hope you get two starters. And I know it's different from what do you think will happen compared to what you hope for. But you're talking about two selections in the top 40. Those are guys that are going to be playing a decent amount of football for you as soon as year one begins. You see starters come from all over the NFL draft. Clearly, as you select later, it gets harder to select those guys. But in the top 40, there's a very real chance that each of these players, whoever they may be, will contribute in a big way this season, especially if you're talking about wide receiver. If you're going with a Ladd McConkey, Xavier Leggett, Ricky Pearsall, whoever of these wide receivers that we've mentioned quite a bit, they're going to have an immediate role. Uh-huh. Deontay Johnson, Adam Thielen, and then I think insert second round rookie. Those are going to be your top three wide receivers, and then we'll see just how high up the ladder that rookie receiver can climb. So there's one starter. And now if you're talking about cornerback, if it's a Mike Sanders still, who's been picking up a lot of steam with Carolina here recently, I don't know if you've seen some of the mocks and the rumors, but maybe they go after the nickel corner out of Michigan. If that's the case, well, he'll have a starting spot, certainly in passing formations and passing downs. So maybe you get two of them there. If you go for an edge rusher, I could see that edge rusher in the second round being implemented into the rotation. I hope they get two starters in the second round this year, like hope. And if you have a guy that's drafted 39 or 33, Wes, and they don't play a lot of snaps this year, then that will be considered a dud. I mean, Jonathan Mingo played a lot of snaps and it didn't work out for him. But we're already starting off on the wrong foot with your second round pick that was 39 overall last year. You got two picks, 33 and 39, right there alongside Mingo. I hope that you see big time contributions from these guys.
Yeah, I think so as well. And ideally, with those first two picks, you do want to land two starters. And there's no question about that, especially when you're talking about guys who are going to be drafted at positions of need for Carolina. And if you go and draft a center or a wide receiver or you take a linebacker, there are a lot of spots on this team where a guy could come in and play. Now, we also saw that Joe Person reported that the Panthers are saying that they're going to wait until after the draft to revisit the Stephon Gilmore talks. And so do you want to draft a corner with one of those spots? That seems like one of those positions that's a little bit further down. I'm not sure that they'll go in that direction. But if you are able to grab two starters out of your second round, I think that that is ideal. Now, what are the odds of that happening? I think it's tough to say. And like I said, it's hard to draft in which every guy's going to hit, because you know, when you watch drafts, you think every one of your picks is going to hit. I remember watching drafts
for sure,
and you're like, oh man, I can't wait till this guy comes in. You're sitting in the sixth round. This guy's going to step right in and tight end and catch 70 passes for us next year. And then, you know, 3 years later, he's working for State Farm or something like that. No, not the State Farm, but I'm just saying that he's out of football because the average career is only 3 years and some change.
You are directly insulting Jake from State Farm, who I believe did have an athletic career before he moved on to State Farm. But you're right. So I even think, okay, let's spread this thing out and then not only just include the second round, but how much of the draft class can you include? Because you're right, you don't expect a lot of starters, or you get amped up with some of these players in the sixth round. Ultimately, there's a great chance that they don't even make the roster. But can you get a special draft class? Can you get one of the top draft classes compared to every other NFL team? And I can't help but stay within the division and go to that 2017 draft class with New Orleans, where they hit it out of the park. You look at Marshon Lattimore, defensive rookie of the year. The next first round pick they had in that same class, last pick of the first round, Ryan Ramczyk, one of the best tackles in the league. Alvin Kamara, one of the best running backs in the league. And then they get Trey Hendrickson in the third round. Trey Hendrickson, one of the better edge rushers in the league, that got a big contract to go to Cincinnati. If you want something more recent, a team a little bit tied to the Panthers, go to the 2023 draft class, this past draft class for Houston. So they get their quarterback in C.J. Stroud, but they also help out by getting Will Anderson and Tank Dell. There's three starters. Now, two of them are in the first round. Tank Dell you hit on, and he was in the third round, who would have had even better numbers had he not gotten hurt at the end of the season. It would be nice, with zero first-round picks, it would be nice for the Panthers to give us a borderline special draft class. Because if you look at some of the draft classes they've had in recent history, like I'm looking at a CBS article right now, and they have the Panthers' best individual draft class coming out of 2005. Mm. They selected Thomas Davis in the first round. But then, like, there's even some bust. Eric Shelton, Evan Mathis, who, you know, at least with the Panthers, what that's not what you'd know him for. Jeff Hangardner. I mean, it's kind of a brutal best draft class if you look at it compared to other NFL teams. When do we get ours? When do we get our really good draft class? And there's one I think that we can go back to even before. I think the 2003 draft class is pretty good. But it would be nice to hit on that this season, especially when you don't have a lot of bites at the apple.
Yeah, Bagel Guy says, you know, he got me. He said West thought Jamie Robinson was going to hit last year. LOL. Yeah, I definitely did. But he still got time.
I mean
his book is not written.
Yeah, go ahead and call him out all you want to. I'm going to be right there with some of these guys. Yeah.
Coach Manson said we need that Seattle draft that had Richard Sherman. Yeah, man, that would be excellent if you were able to get him. And so going to the concept of not surrounding Bryce with great players, it's about building a great team. What do we feel like that tells us? Does that mean this draft is going to be a mixed bag, offense and defense, or is it going to lean more defense, or do we feel like that they're saying, hey, we're not going to just be drafting offensive guys to just try to supplement Bryce? Like, this draft is about all of our needs and not just offensive.
I think it's about all of the needs. I think it's going to be a nice mix between both offensive and defensive players. And they said that we're looking for playmakers. Not only are we looking for Panthers fits, but we're looking for playmakers. That means offensively, you're hoping that you can draft somebody that can take it to the house, make a big play for you on a much needed first down, or defensively, go get somebody that can take that football away, because they weren't great at forcing turnovers defensively. That is partly because J.C. Horn was hurt again. That's partly because Dante Jackson, while being a ball hawk-ish early in his career, didn't really do that a lot last season. The safeties, while I really like Xavier Woods, I think we like him as a safety, that's not somebody that's going out and getting the football a lot. Why are you smiling at me with Xavier Woods?
Nothing.
Okay.
No, that's not. Every time I smile, there's no hidden agenda there. There's no agenda.
That's what goes on in my brain when I see him smiling. But we don't have a lot of ball hawks with this team. So Xavier Woods, while we like him, yeah, I would like somebody that can make plays. I go back to Mike Sanders, still had 6 interceptions for Michigan. Or if you could just get a corner that would be able to make the play on a football. That's what Dave Canales is telling you. I think it's going to be a mix.
Yeah, I think so, too. And I think that is the right way to go, because I feel like at this point, I won't 100% say that they've done enough, because I think he probably feels like if we go and grab a wide receiver and then you maybe grab a back, tight end is also a position that the Panthers have been mocked at a lot. But I think that Canales may feel like at this point, with the work that they've done in free agency, that they may be close to where they want to be for year one on offense. Because I think it's a foregone conclusion. That first pick more than likely is a wide receiver. I'd be kind of surprised if it wasn't. And I'll just say I would guarantee one of the two first picks will be a wide receiver. Now, do you decide to go tight end? Do you decide to go with center or something like that? We shall see. But I don't think that the Panthers have to use a ton of draft capital to address the offense at this point. I think if you can get 2 out of the 3 positions you want, maybe you draft all 3. But if you can get 2 out of the 3 positions you want, whether it be a combination of tight end, wide receiver, center, wide receiver, whichever way that you want to go, I think the Panthers would be okay.
Yeah, it's a long jump to get to playoff contention, and yet I can't help but go back to Houston last year, who nobody thought they were going to be as good as they were. Part of that is C.J. Stroud having one of the best rookie seasons in quarterback history, one of them. You have a second-year player in Bryce Young. We've seen quarterbacks take massive jumps in their second season. I'm hoping that because you have a lot more help on the offensive line, you got rid of your starting guards from last year, and there were a ton of them. So now you have Damian Lewis, who is solid, and you have Robert Hunt, who's good. And now you have Austin Corbett, who has given us good football before. If it's at a different position, it's certainly something I'm not comfortable with, but I could see how it could work as long as he picks up the center position well. And even if he doesn't, maybe use one of the top 2 picks at the center spot at 33 or 39. But if you're Houston and you hit on your quarterback, you hit on your edge rusher, it's easy to do in the first round, but then you even hit on your wide receiver in the third round, then can Carolina hit on 3 separate guys, having 2 second round picks, a 65th overall selection? If you trade back, you might have 4 in the top 70, who knows what kind of package you would get in return if you trade back, then can you get three of those four to be legitimate contributors this season? If you can, that goes such a long way. That is going to be so good for this team. And I can't help but go back also through all of these classes and think, man, Marty Herney would hit on the first round, and then it would slip once we started to go to the other rounds. And he's had some hits before, but that was always the criticism towards the GM then. You don't have these classes that are like, oh boy, man, they hit on a lot of different positions. You just don't have that a lot in Panthers history. And if we can get that turned around, you have a different regime, maybe that brings some new hope. If you can get that this year, it would go such a long way to helping this team get out of the basement of a terrible division that is the NFC South, and maybe even not contend for the division title, but be respectable and get to 6-7-8 wins at its utmost ceiling with the difference.
And I think that's an interesting point that you bring up, because I think the best teams in the NFL, they mostly rely on a draft and they have homegrown talent, and then they add in those pieces and free agency to kind of fill in the gaps. With the Panthers, you know, you're right. A lot of times they do have some success with their first round picks, but then those mid, late round picks don't necessarily pan out, and then they have to go to free agency a lot. Because when you look at this team, I mean, especially this defense, not a lot of homegrown talent there. You're looking and you see J.C. Horn and you see Derek Brown, and pretty much that's about it. I know I could be missing maybe a player or two, but for the most part, Shaq Thompson, obviously that will be back next year, is also a homegrown guy, but just not a lot of drafted talent there with the Panthers. Do you feel like that's an indictment on the organization, especially coming into this season where a lot of the guys on your roster are not guys that you drafted?
Yeah, I do. I remember the stat that we went to when it illustrated that Dallas was responsible for the most amount of draft picks that had made it to a certain extent in the NFL. I forget exactly how the stat was worded, but because of Dallas's draft history, those players that they drafted, they had the most success by a long shot compared to all the other teams, whether it was having success with the Cowboys or having success elsewhere, because Dallas just can't pay everybody. And then so they signed to a big contract with another team. Dallas was number one. Carolina was dead last. They were terrible in that regard because they just don't draft well. That's not what they've done recently through a couple of different regimes. The very end of Marty Herney's tenure, Scott Fitterer's tenure. I'm hoping Dan Morgan's is different, but you're right. Yeah, that is absolutely an indictment. And then I look at some of these other teams within the division and look at their draft history. Man, Jason Light did a hell of a job with Tampa. You get over the hump by signing Tom Brady, but the foundation was put in place because of their ability to hit in the draft. If you go look at their history, they have a really impressive slate of guys that they can boast about. And even if you go to Atlanta, if you look at what they've been able to do just with their weaponry, lots of first round picks on weapons for sure. But you can also go back to 2019, their first two round picks, Wes, it's Chris Lindstrom and Caleb McGarry. You're set. Chris Lindstrom, one of the best guards in all of football. And I feel very good about Caleb McGarry, like Pro Bowl level type of tackle. And they hit on two guys at least every draft that are, it's not like one they hit on and then there's a fringe. No, they hit on two guys. And you just don't see that a lot with Carolina, where I feel great about two guys that they draft. Doesn't happen nearly as frequently as you would like.
Quickly, before we go to break, Chris from Greenville asked, Wes, you think trading a 39 pick and a third round pick to go up to get Brock Bowers, would you like it? Well, for one, it's going to take a whole lot more,
more
than that, because right now he's pretty much been mocked to the Jets at, I believe, 10 through this whole process. So it looks like more than likely, because I've always been one of those guys, I feel like if I continuously see a guy mocked at a spot, it more than likely happens. So I think it would take a lot more than that. But trading up to get Brock Bowers, that's an interesting question, because we just talked about Roma Dunze. And let's just say in a crazy world that Marvin Harrison dropped down there. But Brock Bowers, this is a guy we haven't talked about. Very dynamic at the tight end position. How would you feel if that happened, if they traded up to get Brock Bowers?
Yeah, Bowers is Odunze isn't gonna fall past the bottom 10 unless something crazy happens. None of the top three wide receivers, right?
You can hear Wes and Walker live and local every weekday afternoon from noon to 3. Sit tight and stay locked, because Instant Replay continues next, only on Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ.
The exclusive home of the Charlotte Sports Fan.
McDonald's is not new to chicken, so maybe stop questioning their chicken cred and get your hands on the McCrispy. Juicy fried chicken, buttery bun, unmatched pickle to chicken ratio. Yeah, they know what they're doing. In fact, we can honestly say they're not new to chicken. They're true to chicken. The McCrispy. Only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
This is Instant Replay on Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ. Earlier this afternoon on the Kyle Bailey Show.
Michael Felder, former Tar Heel defensive back, East Mech Eagle always, covers college football for Stadium and does a lot of great NFL draft work this time of year as well. He's back with us on the Body Works Plus guest hotline. There's a lot that I want to get to with you. Panthers don't have a first-round pick. They do have picks at 33 and 39, though, and you should be able to find starters in the top 40 of the NFL draft. So I'm excited for what they might be able to do next week. And full disclosure, my preference in those first two picks is wide receiver center. I'm a big Zach Frazier guy from West Virginia. Jackson Powers Johnson's a good player. Let's actually start there if we can. They're sliding Austin Corbett over to center this upcoming year, which I think could absolutely work, but it also might not. And he's got a recent, injury history that concerns some people. Again, I'm a huge Zach Frazier fan, but I know there are some good centers in this draft. If that's the way that they're looking, where would you go?
I think you're spot on. One, I think wide receiver, that's got to happen. You got to get some weapons for Bryce Young. Like, you have to get weapons. And the good thing is, in this draft, there are a lot of wide receivers. And obviously, we're not talking about them getting Malik Nabers, or we're not talking about them getting Marvin Harrison Jr., but Xavier Worthy, I've seen in a lot of mocks, slip down, which is interesting. I also really like the idea of a tight end. And I know you mentioned wide receiver, but listen, catch the passes. Someone that can catch passes, and I think that Cade Stover, Jack Westover, like, those guys are going to be around when they have picks, and I don't think it's overdrafting to get those guys. And if you see someone fall a little bit, now you have an opportunity. And so I really like that idea of getting the tight end, or obviously getting someone like Xavier Worthy, he's a speed guy. He's pure speed. I still don't know where I feel on Brian Thomas. Brian Thomas Jr. from LSU, a lot of folks, some folks have him in the top 15, other folks have him on day two. It's a weird, he lives in a weird world. Same thing with Adonai Mitchell out of Texas, who's another speed guy with the wide receiver spot. But if you can't get one of the wide receivers, the Leggett kid from South Carolina is going to be there.
Stop right there, because I love him. I love him. All right, now I understand there's some mixed reviews on him. But I'm a big Xavier Leggett fan. Now, I'd be happy with Ladd McConkey. I'd be happy with Ricky Pearsall. Sure. I want to come back to Xavier Worthy. There are some players there, no doubt. But am I justified in really liking Xavier Leggett for this team and this offense? What do you think?
No, I think you are fully justified. Like, he's an absolute physical specimen. It's a matter, and here's the problem, and here's what's scary. You don't want to get into the Kelvin Benjamin pool again, right?
Sure.
And so I think he is a different type of player. I think he could probably be better, but that's the worry that I would have. And that's the part that's a little bit scary. And whereas you mentioned Pearsall, you mentioned McConkey, I think that Tez Walker also is another possibility at where the Panthers are picking. And all three of those feel like guys that have a little more polish to the game. Granted, Walker plays more outside, and then you get, obviously, McConkey, you get Pearsall. They're a lot more inside and more intermediate.
Okay, so that interesting, right? So with Leggett, by the way, do you like the A.J. Brown comp? Because I think that one makes a lot of sense.
And I had to do a lot of work on comps, but I think the biggest thing for me is if he's as good as we want him to be, I think he fits into that world. The question is, can he get to be that good? And that's a coaching staff issue.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also a him and work ethic issue. And you can't pick those two things when you're drafting someone, but I think he absolutely could be that good. It's hard. Like, I think that, like, body style-wise, I think that Marvin Harrison Jr. fits Laquon Treadwell's, like, entire profile, but Laquon Treadwell is out of the NFL right now. And it's about coaching staff, and it's about his makeup. The difference is mentally, I believe more in Marvin Harrison Jr. because he grew up around the NFL. And so, for Xavier, like, I want to see him be shepherded forward. And I guess the question becomes, is it better for him to be close to home, or is he better off, like, moving out to move up?
Yeah, that's a fair point. We got Michael Felder with us on the Bodyworks Plus guest hotline. Let's talk about another ACC receiver for a second. Keon Coleman. Boy, the conversation around him the last couple of months has been something to watch. And I like him, but then you start getting into people who break down the athletic profiles and, you know, breaking into the film, and they'll tell you, well, you know, we think he can maybe have a lot of success against zone, but, you know, against man, press coverage, he's a contested catch guy. We don't love his 40. And some people love him. Some people want nothing to do with him. What do you think about him?
I love him. I understand the concern about his 40 time. I knew he wasn't fast. I didn't know he was going to run that 40, if we're being honest. And I think the big thing for me, and I was talking to Mike Renner, Bleacher Report, NFL Draft Analyst, and he was like, is he kind of like Keenan Allen? And guess what? If he can live up to what Keenan Allen does, again, this is all about fit, scheme, everything. Tell me if you get Keenan Allen in the second round, you're not going to be happy.
Yeah,
right?
Like, of course, of course.
But the question again becomes, is that what he's going to live up to, or is he going to be, like we said before, Laquon Treadwell? And you don't know that part of the person's makeup, and that's the part that's going to be really interesting. But, I mean, he's 6'3", he's 215 pounds, he's a guy with big arms, huge hands. He can run. Like, sure, he ran a 4.61. But his suddenness and his game speed is different. His production has been top-notch. So I think the question – and listen, he jumped to 38. Like, jumping at 38 proves you do have some explosion, right? So you have some explosion there. So the question becomes, how does he use it, and how often is he going to use it? And that's an effort thing. And effort gets pulled out of you by your coaches, and effort is something that you have to show up with every day.
So I don't want to spend too much time on wide receiver, but I think it's the most important thing they're going to do in this draft, mm-hmm. certainly early on. And you mentioned Xavier Worthy a minute ago. Now, I need you to sell me on Worthy a little bit. I'm coming around because I heard somebody talk about, you know, his slight frame has been used against him. But somebody pointed out this morning that, hey, Tank Dell's not a great big guy either, and he had success last year in Houston. So, you know, I'm open to Xavier Worthy, but sell me on him in Carolina. Why do you like him?
I mean, speed. It's all speed.
All speed.
Speed,
right.
Every day.
Yeah.
It's really speed. And the ability, you know, this, what are you running? 4.21. Like, this guy can fly. And, I mean, we're watching it with the Dolphins, right? We're watching the Dolphins with Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill and just, hey, man, chuck it up there, dog. And so we're watching all this stuff take place. So it works. It can work. It's just a matter of, like, as a team, as the Panthers, the royal we, if you will, they have to give their quarterback time so that these guys can punish defensive backs. And it's the thing, you and I have talked about this, and I've talked about it on other shows as well, but there's one thing to draft a big wide receiver and a guy who can be open even when he's not open. But for guys like Hill, for guys like Waddle, obviously in this case for guys like Worthy, you have to build in route combinations or you have to buy time so that you can create space. Because they're always going to get open. They're going to eat up cushion all day. You just have to buy time so that the quarterback can, one, see them, two, step into his throw, and three, deliver an accurate pass that gives them an opportunity to make a play.
All right, cornerbacks, let's go there real quick, because in your absence yesterday, we did sing your praises for your Mike Sainristil prediction before the college football playoff semifinal. So, you know, I think Nate Wiggins has been talked about, but I'm not sure he makes it out of the first round. You know, there's Mike Sainristil out there, but we saw a mock yesterday from Dane Brugler that had Carolina taking TJ Tampa out of Iowa State. We're told this is not a particularly deep corner class, so it feels like you probably got to get one of those three guys early if you want them. Otherwise, you might be taking a flyer on a developmental player a bit later.
So here's the thing. I think that one, Terry Arnold from Alabama, obviously he won't be there when the Panthers pick. I think that Kool-Aid probably won't be there when the Panthers pick.
Right.
I think Kool-Aid is the number two guy. I love him. Wiggins, I think, could still be there at 33. I think Wiggins could still be there because we're going to see this huge run on offensive linemen and we're going to see this huge run on quarterbacks. So it's not an issue of if they're a first-round talent. It's an issue of if you feel like you're not going to get the offensive lineman you want, then you have to go and get someone. I really, really like, and this is, again, this goes back to system, but I really do like, I like DeJean, the kid out of Iowa. If you want to play zone, like, he's such a really good, and I've seen Chris Sims, he said he should be a safety. I said, no. Or him at corner. This guy he's proto Rondae Barber. Like, put him at corner. Put him at corner in his own offense, and this guy's going to be a problem because he understands how to see through the wide receiver to the quarterback, and that's going to be the interesting part. And then you get all these other, like, it's all about what you like. And that's Wiggins, that's DeJean. It's Kool-Aid even. Like, it's what you like and what fits your scheme, and that's going to be the part that's going to be interesting to me. And when you look at a guy like Daquan Hardy, you look at Max Melton as someone else who fits in there, and then you throw in Quinyon Mitchell. Quinyon Mitchell is going to be interesting. Most people don't even know who this kid is.
Yeah.
He's from Toledo. But he's good, and he's a good – I think he fits into this Richard Sherman mold of he can be physical, but he can also play bail, and I think that's an interesting piece if that's who the Panthers can end up with.
Michael Felder with us on the Body Works Plus guest hotline. Let me go back to offensive line real quick because they're set at tackle, at least for this year, right? Ikey Ekwonu's got big questions, but they're set at tackle. Brady Christensen's your swing tackle. They signed Yosh Nijman, who's got 22 starts. So they're good there. And they just signed a couple of guards. They spent big money on guards. So we're looking at center specifically. I mentioned Frazier. Jackson Power Johnson's out there. I think it's critical for them personally to draft a center to play behind Austin Corbett, who is doing this for the first time in years and is coming off a serious injury. I mean, who are your favorites at that position? Because I do think that's very much on the table for them.
The problem is I don't know when we're going to see. It's such a good tackle draft that you don't know what you're going to get from the interior line, right? Like the kid from UNC, the Kingston kid, or from USC, excuse me, Jarrett Kingston, I think he's a good player. I think, is it too early to pick him at, what is it, 39? Is it too early to pick him then? I don't know. I truly am looking at that. I always feel good with Notre Dame guys, so we're looking at the BB guy. And Matt Lee from Miami, I don't know if he had enough time with Cristobal to, like, really grow up into it. And so this is going to be one of those drafts where maybe we don't see as many interior offensive linemen go as we've seen before. Like, I remember, good grief, was it 2013? When we saw, like, multiple guys like Jonathan Cooper get picked in the top 15, and you're like, okay, these guys are good. And so it's going to be, I think it's a very tackle-heavy draft. I think what we're going to see are guards and centers and guards that can play center get picked day two, and then which is where the Panthers are picking, and then get picked more on day three, which is going to make those are guys that are probably going to play for 10 years. Like Jacob Monk, the kid from Duke, like why can't he? Like he's an NFL player, but everything else orbiting around, he's not in charge of the rest of the party. He's not in charge. Like, this is a guy that he showed up and he brought the best dish. But at the end of the day, everyone's so excited about getting pizza that they don't realize that his deviled eggs are awesome.
This is, we can always count on food analogies from Mike Felder. That's why I'm laughing right now. I do like that take, though.
You've tuned into Instant Replay. When the audio was so good, it has to be heard again. Only on Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ.
The exclusive home of the Charlotte sports fan.